Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance need the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow. You know I'm trying to please to the calling of your heartstrings that play soft and low. You know the night.
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz, fresh and back from the Caribbean, the cruise line. And, of course, last week markets were very, very volatile and mostly lower. We saw what we would call a key reversal pattern on a weekly basis now. So we're starting to see some more ugliness. And, of course, that's very consistent with our call of the top. Again, just because we said the top is in does not mean that the markets are going straight down. It just means that I think that you have a selling opportunity every time we reach the upper levels. I believe that gives you an opportunity to sell. All right. So right now we'd be looking at, about 25,000 in the Dow would be a spot to sell. So far, we've seen the markets do exactly as we thought they would do, which is we saw the big sell-off a couple of weeks ago, and of course the subsequent bounce, which made what we would say a lower high. So that would be an indication that, again, the top is in, add in the volatility and other things that are going on. And then you would take a look at last week, and we saw after Monday's rally, we saw lower highs and lower lows every day. So that is kind of what we're looking for. Even with Friday's, pretty good recovery, still made a lower high and still made a lower low. So that would be something that, of course, we're watching and looking at and helping us make our decision as to where we think we're going to go from there. And, again, this does not mean, we were expecting a disaster. It just means that from our standpoint, the markets look like they have put the tops in. The rising volatility, the rising volume, everything is indicating that certainly we have seen a market top. And, we'll see how they play out. But there's a lot of things going on. You've got the concern over the tariffs, which, I don't know. I'm happy they're there. And of course, you've got everybody trying to point out that they're no good. And one of the big problems I always have is, what makes it no good or makes it good? And this goes back to, how we are as a people, which is, well, we've never done that before. We've tried it and it hasn't worked, but it doesn't mean it won't work this time. And I just see, issues out there, and I'm so sick and tired of this is the way we should do it, or the way we used to do it. Well, the way we used to do it is obviously has not worked. Okay, yes, the markets are up, and I'm a believer in the equity markets because they do go up 8% year over year. But what I'm not a believer in is that maybe things can get better, maybe things can change, and for us to keep relying on the same stuff that brought us the disasters that we've had, to rely on the same things that don't actually bring us prosperity, but bring us debt. What good is the debt? What good is continuing to build on to debt? What good is letting the global countries take over the United States? I think that those are issues that, we just tend to ignore because we want to forget about anything that could be probably that it could affect us adversely eventually. But, this whole ordeal with the Federal Reserve and with the dollar and with what's going on. OK, and again, the dollar is trying to break above the upside. And again, I'm convinced that it will. I'm convinced that the dollar is going much, much higher, which will then eventually put some pressure on interest rates. I'm not really looking at it from a commodity standpoint. We all look at the dollar versus commodities, and because most of them are dollar denominated. And I'm not looking at it this way because I think those markets have kind of now, you know, priced in. You know, the asset classes understand pricing and typically price in a lot of the information that we're seeing. So the direct correlation, which we've talked about many times, is not always today. All right. Because if you go back and let's just walk back and look at some of the commodities versus the dollar and where they are now. Well, you would have thunk, one would have thunk, you would think that the dollar, you know, at the low levels it's at net right now, that the grain markets, although had a big week last week, would be much higher than they are now. So they did not benefit from the fall in the dollar. That's an issue. That's something that you say, okay, so that makes sense. Oil itself did not benefit all that much from the big fall in the dollar. Gold did not benefit all that much from the big fall in the dollar. So what does the weaker dollar mean right now? Well, it means what I think we're talking about is that it's a manipulated commodity. It's a manipulated currency that no matter what you and I want to say, is that it's not tracking in the commodity space right now, because you can see it's evidently, you know, very obvious that the commodities did not benefit from the weaker dollar. All right. So, you know, so what does that mean? So it really means that the dollar is just strictly something to measure against interest rates right now. And a low dollar leaves not our interest rates for us, but for global, it keeps interest rates low. And I think that's something that we need to understand and to put ourselves in a position to trade against it. So, you know, when you look at it and you say, okay, how can that happen? And this is where we get into that same old, you know, well, this is the way we've always done things. This is what it means. Well, it doesn't mean always today. Okay. Now, eventually they'll get back in line together. But when you look back and see the pressure that we've seen, it just shows you that it's not all that important. And that's where I think many people get confused and get tied into some bad information, because they're trying to play something that really doesn't play. You know, markets don't go day for day, dollar for dollar. Eventually, again, they do come back into line. And that's what we're always looking at. But the overall focus of the market is doesn't look very good. Okay, we look sloppy. We look like we're going to go significantly lower. Now, again, I urge you to remember that just because we think we're going lower does not mean we're going lower today. Does not mean that they're going to collapse today. It just means that in the bigger picture, everything looks like we want to go to the downside. Everything looks like there should be some pressure here. And again, remember that there's an inordinate amount of people that are invested in this market that can't wait to get out. Okay. So, you know, with the, you know, rising interest rates, and you know, you push that 10-year over 3%, you probably see a lot of money start to come out of the market, because a lot of people would be very happy with a 3% yield right now. And I do believe that we're going to see interest rates going significantly higher. Now, you know, when, who did the heck if I know? I know, but I do believe you're going to start to see rates get higher. I believe that the Fed has totally lost their mind. So I think there's a lot of reasons to believe that the interest rates, which we have said all along, are going to get away from the Federal Reserve. And I think this is where we, as we say, we've only just begun. I think there's a lot more coming on. But in the meantime, this is The Bubba Show, and I am Todd Bubba Horowitz, and great to be back from a week at sea. But for all of you, my high school investing program, we are you know, looking for some help. And if you want to help us out, you can go to patreon.com/BubbaTrading. Again, that's Patreon, P-A-T-R-E-O-N. Patreon.com/BubbaTrading. Check it out. And also don't forget to download The Bubba Show every single day at libertytalk.fm, the only station you need. You know, we're on top of it and provide a lot of good content. And we're going to stop and have a break. We'll be right back with more of The Bubba Show after the break. This is Todd Bubba Horowitz, The Bubba Show. We'll be right back. Yeah. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And, you know, I tell you, it's funny. You know, I was away last week, as I said, and, you know, I had an interesting experience with American Airlines. And, you know, I got to tell you, I wonder where the pride, I wonder what's happened to our country here with some of these things. You know, we've all gone to so many electronic, you know, answering devices, and, you know, you never get to talk to a person. And most people like me get very frustrated trying to push through buttons and, you know, all this stuff. But in the meantime, so we're coming home. And we were scheduled to come home at 1 o'clock on Saturday, and we wanted to come home earlier. So I had first class tickets. I wanted to change in, and I call American, and I make the arrangements. And, you know, well, you know, you got this fee, that fee. I go, I don't care. Just, you know, I'm not paying anything. I know I've got money. I know I can go right online right now and buy the tickets for $145. I know my tickets are worth more than $145. So, but in the meantime, so I call to finally get it all done, and I get the email confirmation, and the confirmation is for the wrong day. Okay. So the person who was doing the reservation made a mistake and put it for the wrong day, because I gave the right day, because I was just moving in flight earlier, right? So I immediately call back. This is within 10 minutes. I call back to American, and I get somebody on the phone. They go, well, no, you have to make it. It's going to cost you now $200 a person to make a change. I go, what do you mean it's going to cost me? I didn't make the mistake. You made the mistake. I said, just do this. Just give me back my tickets that I had originally. I'll just go back on the original flight and fly first class. Heck with you. Well, no, you can't do that. You already changed. I said, I didn't change. You changed the wrong record. So in the meantime, it took me an hour and a half to get this all resolved. And finally, after talking to 75 supervisors, well, I don't exaggerate too much, talking to five different supervisors, I finally got someone to agree that it was their mistake and I should not be penalized for the mistake that they made. Can you imagine what we're coming to when you have to fight for something that you're directly right on? But it goes back to the same old story, deny, 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 and fight and say no, no, no. And you know, and maybe eventually you'll get somebody who understands that it wasn't your mistake. But I don't understand it. And that's why, of course, you know, the lack of competition, you know, in the business is a problem. And that's this whole, you know, this whole system where it starts to break down in my mind. This is where I have, you know, many things that I find to be extremely upsetting from my standpoint and my viewpoint. But, you know, when I look at what's going on, you know, I see it. I see it everywhere. I see the lack of real solid help. And of course, we don't have any really great jobs. So, you know, who wants to go work for nothing? And it's just an issue. Okay. But I will say that on the boat, on the cruise, which is absolutely a great value. And by the way, just so everybody knows, I won a poker tournament to give me a free cruise again. But in the meantime, you know, as I still believe that we are in a recession, but I did see a lot of evidence by a packed cruise ship of 6,500 people on a ship that, you know, things may not be as bad as I think they are. Or maybe this was just a group. You know, it's hard to get a read as I look around. You know, I look at different things. And this is something that I would say that, you know, you had a lot of people here with a lot of families. And, you know, they're inexpensive vacations, cruises. But it's still, you know, it still can be costly, especially, you know, depending on your personal status. So it was interesting. And of course, the casino was packed, you know, so, you know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the economy is better. I don't really see it. But, hey, you know, again, I can't fight as in every part of life. You cannot fight the tape. You cannot fight what's going on. So I'll look at it. But of course, that goes back to what I look at when I talk about oil all the time. You know, I think oil is extremely overvalued, and I'm having my ongoing Twitter battle with my buddy with the same namesake. You know, we are working our way down, but I think that oil is worthless in my humble opinion, that over the long haul, not today, but, you know, over the long haul, oil is virtually shouldn't be very expensive, because there's no reason for it. We don't have a big demand. We've got a huge supply. And hopefully we will get better at getting rid of it. And we are seeing more of more of fuel efficiency, which would also cut down the needs for oil. So there's a lot of reasons to believe that oil is not going, you know, too much higher. And I think the formation in which we are in, which is called backwardation still. I mean, if you look and you look at, like, you know, like this December coming up oil, you know, you're going to see that December oil for this year okay, is about 15% cheaper than it is today. Okay, December oil of 18, is it 15? Is it 58? So it's right now it's back to only down about 4% difference from where we're trading today, 4.5%. So why is it? Okay, why is oil cheaper in the future? And that's a simple answer is this, is that it's, you're seeing some fear driving the price of oil higher today, you know, in this period. And this has been this pattern for the last couple of weeks. But if you go out, you know, even farther, you know, if you go out and look into the year 10, okay, you're looking at oil at 50, okay? So you tell me, what does that mean to you? Why is future oil going down? And that's something that we talk about. That's the contango and backwardation formations. Backwardation is a bearish formation because you're seeing the premium pumped up into the front because there's some concern today, all right? But you're seeing the future prices going lower, and that's very simple. All right. The simple answer is that there's, when you have backwardation, it's more of a bearish pattern and it will usually play out. The only problem is obviously is trying to time when that's going to happen. But markets will price themselves in the future. And this happens in it's more common in commodities. You know, it does happen occasionally in equities, but it's not as much you might think, because there is things you can do. But in commodities, you know, especially like in oil, when you see this backwardation model, it tells you it's bearish. I mean, you see the backwardation model right now in cattle. All right. Now, you know, cattle is right now, if you look at April cattle, okay, which is trading at 122. All right. And then you go to June cattle is trading at 114. August cattle is trading at 112. And then it starts to pick up again. And that is not a bullish formation. That, you know, a lot of these are historical moves, but it's something that, you know, you understand that if they're willing to sell cheaper later, there's a reason for it. And I think that's something that, you know, again, we just have to be aware of the formation that things are in, so they can give us the best idea of what is actually going to happen next and how we're going to see it trade from there. So even though we are in these formations, it still means that it could squeeze you a little bit longer waiting. And you know, many think that, you know, well, heck, I can buy cheaper out there and sell here. It's a good spread, and it doesn't always work that way. Because again, we don't know how long the fear is going to last, that's going to continue to keep prices escalated, you know, and that's the issue that always comes to play is when does it start to turn around? And of course I think oil is any day will turn to the negative, and I think we see a run significantly lower, and I think that will then tie into, if my call of the dollar is correct and we explode, then that will put some pressure on the commodities, and that will put some pressure on oil, and you know, we'll see where it comes down and everything comes out to shoot. But from a straight fundamental standpoint, I don't see any big demand for oil. I don't see any reason for any big demand in oil, and I think we continue to see the same type of action, which is you'll get these occasional rallies, but look for oil to work its way much lower, I think, as we go forward. I don't see it has any dramatic future for it. And I think that, you know, you're starting to see some action in gold. We saw that big dip in gold on Thursday. And of course we rallied back, and I think we're really just in a big old range, but I'd be very careful here. Although I'm trading gold from the long side down at around the 1300 level, I would not be surprised to see it break below that and take a run and test the lows that we saw, you know, a few months ago. Again, longer term, I'm bullish gold. Short term here, I think that it's an issue. And I think that, you know, silver itself is also bullish here. See, the difference, I would buy silver here and just hold it. Yeah, that's how I look at it. But I do think that there's a lot of good things that you could look forward to and see. But in the meantime, you know, don't forget to get my daily update. You know, every day after the market closes, I do a video update, you know, 3 to 5 minutes. And when I'm doing is I'm telling you what I saw during the day and what I expect for tomorrow. And I think it's something that, you know, it's a great tool for you, because I'm just giving you my straight stuff live and as it's happening. So you get an idea how to set yourself up. And I have to do to get that. It's free. You go to BubbaTrading.com. No credit card, no nothing. It's just a free video that I will email to you. And don't forget to download the Bubba Show every day at LibertyTalk.fm. You know, we're the only station you need. And of course, you can get the Sporting Edge there as well. And of course, our new brand new show, which is airs once a week, which is Crypto Investor X, just talks about the cryptocurrencies. In the meantime, this is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back with Matt Demeter of DemeterResearch.com. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz coming right back. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report. Bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Demeter of DemeterResearch.com and Todd Bubba Horowitz of BubbaTrading.com. So, Matt, I was reading about, you know, you and I have talked about Monero many times, and it's like the dark currency still. It's considered the dark currency. But now, you know, I've read that Monero, the drug dealer's cryptocurrency of choice, is on fire. And I guess I don't watch it as regularly as you do. Is it on fire? And what's your take of that statement?
Yeah, well, I mean, it got down to almost about 150 on February 6th. Right now it's at 350. So that's a pretty good jump. It's probably been the best performing crypto of the major ones. It's been one of the best performing over the past month. So I think the use case for Monero is, yeah, I mean, you know, it's the one of the most private. It's still the preferred currency on the dark web, and you know, people wanted to get back to buying their drugs or doing whatever they were doing, and so Monero, in my mind, you know, Monero is a good project, and they've got a lot of things coming down the pike that are going to make it an even better currency. But it's that privacy aspect that makes it great for, you know, the dark web, and makes it great for anybody that wants to, you know, do private transactions. My opinion is that, you know, Monero is just like the same thing as physical cash, you know, in dollars, let's say. It's fungible. Everyone is just like the other. It's going to be used more in drug trading and that sort of thing. But I mean, US dollar is the same thing. It's US, as we talked about before, 90% of US currency has cocaine residue on it. So
not mine. I have mine washed and clean. So, sure. You know, now you got, okay, so we got Monero, which is hot. Now, I know you're a big fan of Ethereum. Is that still your number one choice for the future?
It's still my number one choice. I think it's got the most utility, and all, you know, they've set a standard with the ERC20 coins that, when you set it, they sort of set a standard where, I'm trying to think of, you know, an analogy back to the internet when you had, I think it's ICP and, what was the other one? But anyway, they're setting a standard for how, you know, new coins are created, so that, you know, these wallets that can take those types of tokens created on the Ethereum platform, they'll work with those wallets. It just, they've created an ecosystem which has a lot more utility than most. And, I think and they've got the, they've got an excellent development team too. There's they have one of the best development teams out there. So I would think it'd still be my number one choice.
You know, I own some bit shares. I know you know the guys who run it or own it, whatever you call it. What's your thoughts of bit shares in here? You know, that doesn't seem like they do much. Again, it's hard really to track for me because this is not my game. But what are your thoughts? Any thoughts on bit shares at all?
I'm positive on BitShares. I don't actually own any because I haven't done enough research myself on it. But I do like that they have a decentralized exchange that they created, and they have just a lot of good ideas. The Larimers, have some great ideas, and they have some great projects besides BitShares. So. EOS is one of those, which I think is pretty good. They're challenging Ether actually as a platform, so that they could be successful with that. Although Ethereum, they do have plans for pretty significant plans for improving speed and all the other the transaction costs and all the other criticisms made of their platform. So I think I think the network effect around Ethereum is probably a bit stronger, but. But I'm positive on BitShares and positive on anything those two guys do.
All right. And then, we've had all these, every country, they're going to fight against it, their restrictions, whatever. But now all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the CFTC, which is the Commuters Trading Exchange, decided that their employees can now buy and trade into the cryptocurrency world. What do you think of that?
I think it's been a surprisingly positive tone coming out of the CFTC. And also, I think these SEC, I was thinking it was going to be far more negative, but I forget his name at the moment. But when testifying about the cryptocurrencies in front of Congress, I believe, he said that his kids own some, and they were telling him it's the future, and he thought, yeah. Could be, and he just wanted to give him space to breathe. Obviously, he said they wanted to cut down on scams and Ponzi schemes and so forth, protect the public. But other than that, they wanted to give the whole space room to breathe. I think that's incredible. It was such a positive tone compared to what I expected.
Well, no, I think it's great. I think, again, this goes back to the origination of actual futures products. I think that the currency is being accepted and must mean that the governments have figured out a way to get some tax in there. But the SEC is launching a probe into the cryptocurrency market. And, I'd wish they would just stick with what they're supposed to be doing because they don't do a very good job with the equity markets. But they're now launching a probe. And, of course, you've got the UK trying to, have some restrictions and some stuff. And I go back to the reason for all of these coins is to get away from having the government to have control over them. And I think that that's one of the bigger issues. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think they want to stay close enough. I think that there could be that motive. I definitely think that's there, that they want to stay close. It's kind of like you want to keep your friends close, but your enemies closer. Like, I think they might want to, just stay involved in the space, because if it is going to take over, then they're going to want to figure out how to get their piece, like you said. So they're just trying to get grips on how can they regulate it and how can they tax it. So that's still my perspective, but I don't think the space is big enough yet to draw a lot of attention. I think when it starts we get over $1 trillion of market cap. Right now we're at about 500 billion. Once the whole space is worth about $1 trillion, say, at some point, it's going to be taken more seriously how do we make sure we know your customer and anti-money laundering laws? How do we get all that in place so that we can, track it, figure out who owns what, and tax it.
Isn't it the time to do it when it's small, when it's easy to handle right now? I mean, if they're going to do it, wouldn't it make sense to do it now and put these things in place when it's relatively small, as you said? I mean, it's a $500 billion or whatever it is. I mean, wouldn't it make sense to put everything together now instead of waiting until it's too late and then screwing it up like they've done with everything else in history?
Yeah, I do. I do think they should. I think they would, if they want to keep the current, they would be smart to regulate it now and to you know, sort of get grips on it now. The fact that they're not, I think, is great. I think it opens the door for a lot more innovation and for it to get out of control out of their control. So I think that's awesome. I think that's what we want to see happen.
I mean, you know, it looks like obviously there's a lot more acceptance. You know, we've got a couple of products. I'm sure there's going to be more futures products as well based on these. And I mean, that's okay with me because that at least shows me that they believe in it and they've got there are some ways you can trade it with in a model that's safer. But it does look to me also, though, that like they're getting ready to take off. You know, it looks like they're getting ready to make a bigger move. And I know you said May is when the conference is going to be. And it could be then. I mean, I don't know when it'll be, but you and I look at patterns and the pattern is just really tightening, really tight, and looks like it wants to explode. And of course, that could be either way, but I would assume it would be the upside. What are your thoughts?
I think I'm still leaning towards a double bottom, you know, sort of a W shape, you know, bottom, rather than the V bottom we got on February 6th. Yeah, February 6th. So I think we're going to return to those lows. And one of the reasons is I keep coming back to Bitcoin Cash. I still want to see Bitcoin Cash. It's one of the bigger, you know, it's in the top five. And I got a clean pattern on it that has it coming down, at least in RSI terms, daily RSI. It still wants to get down to 20, just hasn't reached there yet. Did get down to 30 on February 6th. So, you know, I think there's one more move to the downside, at least for that crypto. And it's a big one. So I think it's sort of a proxy for the whole crypto space. So I think we're going to get more of a W bottom, but then after that, I think we are going to rip to the upside.
Oh, I could see that. No, I mean, again, that would actually, the W bottom would still be within the consolidation range in which they're in now. So, you know, we've got a pretty big range. I'd have to say the range would be, just using Bitcoin, would be probably, you know, 6,500 to 12,000. I mean, but it's still a trading range, right? It's still yeah, a big number. So a W bottom would make a lot of sense, because especially from where we are now, right at the upper end of this consolidation pattern, which is, you know, right near around 12,000, would be a temporary top, I would think. And I would have no problem with it going down to, you know, the bottoms, making a V bottom, or excuse me, a W bottom, which is what you said, and create the double bottom. So I think that makes a lot of sense. And I think we could go a lot higher from there, because again, I do believe they're real and they're spectacular. And this is Crypto. This is the Bubba Show. And this is, I'm Todd Bubba Horowitz. And of course, I want to remind you to check out our highschoolinvesting.com website. And also, if you'd like to help us out, you can make a donation at Patreon, patreon.com/ Bubba Trading. If you do that, I will give you one free week of my futures advisory service. And certainly would love to hear from you and love to continue to grow this program. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be back after the break with more from Matt Demeter of DemeterResearch.com. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Matt Demeter of DemeterResearch.com, hanging out with you. Thought about the crypto world, and of course, the regular equity markets have taken a little bit of a downturn, pretty much as you projected from before, and they're kind of acting almost working in tandem. But now it looks to me that they may be separating a little bit. What's your take of the general markets right now?
So on a, they got overbought, the market, the stock indices got overbought, going into Monday, Tuesday of last week. And, you know, although it was a big drop, you know, I think we're just going to have to expect a little more volatility, both the downside and upside. Now volatility's back, which I think is great. I think the next move is probably to the upside, just short term, you know, just like the next, you know, few days, and you know, towards the end of this week, I think it could, you know, turn right back down again. But I think we're a little bit oversold on short term indicators. I think it would make sense to have a bounce. We're still net short, you know, because I think in the intermediate term and long term, you know, this, we're coming to the end of this bull market, and you know, I wasn't completely satisfied with the top that we got in the NYSE, which I was satisfied with the top we got in the S&P. That was actually a really beautiful top. The NASDAQ only got to my alternative target, my lower target at 7,500, and I really wanted to see 8,000 because I just think it's prettier, frankly. So that's I think that's possible still. We get up to a higher high in the NASDAQ, and a potentially higher high in the NYSE. So, but this bull market's on borrowed time if it's not already over. So I think that's a longer term picture. Short term, I think this coming week we should probably see a bounce.
I think the tops are in. It doesn't mean we won't test them. I always want to warn everybody. It doesn't mean we're going straight down. There's going to be vicious rallies, and I think what we saw last week was a vicious rally on Monday, and then it just fell apart, which I think is what you can expect when the markets are starting to turn. I mean, to me, higher volatility and the type of price action we've seen is very indicative of a top in the market anyways. And we'll see. It doesn't mean it won't go up to 8,000. It just means that I think that we've seen the highs for now, and we're more in correction mode. But again, remember, in these kind of modes, you get some vicious, as I like to call them, the old rip your face off rallies that look like they're so good and people chase them in. And I think that's always the sign that you are turning around. And of course, we saw some very interesting action in gold last week, and you and I both know that, or we both believe that gold and the cryptos are kind of similar and attract some money. But we saw a quick rush down to almost 1,300, which was a point I was looking for quite a while, and then it bounced straight up. What did you think of that move in gold, and what's your take on gold? I know you were looking for 1,400 and something, like 1,460, I think it was. Are you still there, or has that changed based on the action that's going on now?
Well, the pattern that I'm looking at is declining, where the target resistance I'm looking for is now at about 1,400 even, as opposed to 1,420 or so. So I still think I still think it's more likely we go up than down. But I have, like I said last week, I have incomplete targets to both the upside and downside. I still prefer the upside, though, based on what I'm seeing. The miners GDX hit important support last week, so that jives with gold going up. I will say that, though, what's odd is that the commercials are short gold, pretty heavily. They're not at an extreme yet, but they're pretty heavily short gold. But at the same time, they have a very, very light short position in silver, the smallest short position they've had in 2.5 years. They're always short.
It's like being long for them.
Yeah, so that's like being long, exactly. So I think, silver is, a raging buy here. So we're long silver. I'm kind of just taking a neutral approach to gold. Since gold's COT structure is bearish, while silver's is very bullish, anything could happen. I guess gold could drag silver down, but I think we're probably moving to the upside first is my guess, and then we might get another sell off.
And then of course oil had a little bit of trouble, you and I both believe that long term oil is going much lower, but in the short term, I know you were looking for 66 possibly to print. And are you still looking for 66, or has that target come down? I know it was a rising target last time we talked.
Yeah, it's actually 68, but yeah, 68 and change, and it's a rising target. It's in the middle, around 68.60 now, something like that. So it's still out there. I mean, we could still hit it. Daily indicators are neutral to oversold. It could happen. I'm not changing my stance. I mean, we're heavily short. We've taken a little bit off as profit taking, but fine. If it goes up to 68 and change, we'll short more there. But
that makes sense. Listen, you and I both have the same belief from a fundamental standpoint and from a future standpoint. But of course, that doesn't mean anything. You can call the market right. Like we both know, I believe that the markets go up over time and you can just buy them and hold them. But of course, there's a lot of punishment in between there, and there's better ways to execute. And that's the same for oil. I mean, we're going to be right in the long term. But can you take the short term pressure that comes in when these things happen? And of course, the answer is usually no, as they get very irrational sometimes. Now, I know we haven't talked much about the grains recently, and I don't know how much you're following them these days, but they did have a rather big move in the last couple of weeks and have exploded. You have any comment to the grain markets?
Yeah, they did break above some resistance levels that I had. So they are overbought on daily indicators. You know, as a group, I'm looking at the JJG ETF. Didn't get as low as my target to the downside. So my guess is still this is temporary, but you know, look, I could be wrong on that. It's not, like you said, I haven't been following the grains as closely anymore. I had a target in DBA, the agricultural ETF, that was not reached to the downside, and that's got a lot of grains in it. I still think more like we get a pullback to lower lows, but I mean, we got close as it was. So
no, again, you can't look, if we could do it exactly, obviously it would be a little different. This takes a lot of, you know, technical trading takes a lot of stuff, and you've got to be able to say, okay, I'm wrong, it's not going to go there, it got close enough or whatever, or it's going to come back and meet that target. So, you know, I get it, and I'm with you right now. I mean, I've been very bullish to grains, as you know, for quite a while, and they've gotten to a point where, again, I'm still bullish longer term, but I think that there's going to be a little bit of a pullback. You know, I tie a lot of that into that I believe there's going to be a big sell in the equities, and that money's going to be looking for somewhere for a home. And in my mind, from just a pure price standpoint, corn is still a value buy, although I know that you believe it could go lower. And again, I'm not saying it can't. I just say it to me is more of a value play as to where it can go to the upside from where it can go to the downside. And when that money does come out of the equity markets in the next correction, I think it's going to be looking for a home. And I think that's one of the homes. And of course, there's a lot more people going into cryptos as a new home now as well. That's becoming much more accepted in the advisor business, the family office business. A lot more are now getting involved in the crypto space. What do you think of that?
Yeah. As far as the grains, I, you know, defer to you entirely on that. But I do think that, you know, the correlation with cryptos has been quite low. When stocks were going vertically down, that correlation went up a lot. It went up to 30%, which still isn't that high. But we were at about 10-15% correlation between cryptos and stocks, and now it's at about 30%. So it just, I think if it's a violent, if stocks are a violent, have a violent move to the downside, I think cryptos may tend to go down, but I do think they will perform better than stocks will. So or they'll just stay more, you know, less correlated.
Yeah,
the more, but I think, you know, as the more time goes on, the more institutions get in, you know, they're gonna, the correlation is gonna go closer and closer to one, just because, you know, if the institutions are losing money in one spot, they may need to raise capital in another spot. So we'll have to keep an eye on it.
This is Chris. This is the Bubba Show with Todd Bubba Horowitz, and of course Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. And make sure you check out his website. He brings a lot of good information. He is the technical expert for the Bubba Show as well as the Crypto Investor X as well. In the meantime, don't forget to download the show every single day at libertytalk.fm. That is the Bubba Show. And, of course, don't forget to get Bubba's daily update, which you can get at bubbatrading.com. In the meantime, this is the Bubba Show. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. It's always a pleasure to share time with you. And we will see you back here tomorrow, same time, same station, right here on the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you later.
Turn the quiet up.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.